Not bad for a pinch hitter. So this little girl's name is Muzaki Sarah. Muzaki Sarah. And you look at her face, it's irresistible when they pass these out. But it's not just this big ploy to raise money. I mean, it's the real deal. They really do help these kids. So remember Muzaki Sarah, and Elena will have this if you're interested in knowing more about that. Eventually, another concert or something. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good morning. How's everybody? All right. I don't know if you're into football, but a lot of teams lost yesterday, but USC won. That was good. They held on. And it's always good to know that my salvation doesn't rest on the success of my football teams, or I would never get to heaven. And remember, that's, you know, the beauty of Christianity, of Jesus, is that he's already done the work for us. And we don't have to work our way into heaven. Isn't that good news? You know, when I was thinking about Buddhism yesterday, because I went to a teacher workshop and somebody was talking about that. And I remember when I was in Thailand for 3 months, I would talk to Buddhists and ask them, so how do you get to heaven? And they would all have these different lists. And I'd tell them, you know what? You guys have a problem here because you all have different lists on what to do to get to heaven. No one seems to come to an agreement. Aren't you concerned about that? You know? And they would kind of, you know, ruffle their brow and think, well, yeah, I guess we need to figure that out. I said, well, you know what? The beauty of Jesus is that he came to show us God, and he did the work on the cross. He died for us, paid for our sins, so we don't have to check any list to get to heaven. The only list we're checking off now is how we can bless him for saving our lives. Amen? And we've talked about that in the book of James and how our works show our faith but don't save us. Amen? So all these things we're talking about, going down to Mexico and doing these different ministries, are all a result of our love for Jesus, not because we have to. I mean, he wants us to. This is people that need us to reach them. But it's not going to keep us out of heaven. But yeah, pray for us this next weekend. It's the first time my whole family is actually going, including my wife and Mary. So that'll be fun to have us whole. After doing this ministry since, I think I took Daniel to that orphanage when he was 4. And he had his Bob the Builder suit on and helped us build a road. And so he's 20 now, so 16 years, and Elena's coming. Praise God. So, all right. Well, last night I went to Knott's Berry Farm. It's Knott's Berry Farm from here, right? It's you know what? I got to feel the rapture last night as I went up Supreme Scream and rose up above Buena Park. I felt just that moment of rapture, and then they let me down. It's like, you know, so I'll have to wait for Jesus. But that's an amazing feeling, just rising up. I mean, one day we're going to rise up and meet with Jesus in the sky. So if you want to feel like a preview of the rapture, go to the Supreme Scream at Knott's Berry Farm. Okay. It's like the closest you'll ever get to death without actually dying, you know. What a rush. Okay, so aren't you glad that, wait, I want to pray before I start. Dear God, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you have saved us. I thank you that you have not left us as orphans, that you live in us. And you help us understand your word and help us apply it to our lives. Please do that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just listening to that song, Reckless Love. And aren't you thankful for God's reckless love? Think about how God reached you. All the different ways that he has reached us, whether it's through a TV show or a movie or a friend or going to church or, you know, if it was somebody like me is in a doctor's office or an elevator, you know, you just never know when someone's going to talk to you about Jesus. But his reckless love climbs the mountains to find us, knocks the lies out of the way to bring the truth in, brings light into the shadows. Amen. And today we're going to continue to look at the Holy Spirit power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If your notes look familiar, it's because they are. I've just done some slight editing the last couple of weeks because it's taken me forever to get through these two sides of this paper. Okay? But we are looking at what I believe is the second most significant thing that happened to me as a Christian. The first is my salvation. The second is when the Holy Spirit touched me and anointed me and empowered me to reach people. And I think this is so significant, it's worth taking 2, 3, 4 weeks to talk about it so that it can percolate, so that it can, you know, get in us so that we understand the significance of it. And then we can get to a place where we're totally abandoned to Jesus and say, I want that. Because he looks throughout the world to strongly support those whose heart is fully for him, fully for him. Okay, and that's what this is all about. So just to review, on the front of your paper, we found out that God wants to empower us with the Holy Spirit to reach the lost. You know, I was at Los Padrinos on Thursday night doing Bible study. Two boys that I'd worked with before. One of them is from Lenox, and he was jumped by a rival gang. I don't know if it's Lawndale, Thresser, one of the gangs over there. So his mother had to take her car and ram the gangster's car to save his life at the store when they jumped him. And they ended up stabbing one of the guys in the other gang. And so he's in there for attempted murder. And, you know, he's 17 years old. His whole life is in front of him. I need the Holy Spirit to talk to him. Do you understand that? I'm sitting there at Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall going, Lord, give me the words to say to Danny. Right? And he's really open. And then the other boy that was with us, he was hanging out with a Satanist who actually would take a cross and curse and throw it out the window of his car and was doing crystal, doing meth and talking to demons, you know, in the park with him. And he's like, you know, what, who are you talking to? Oh, no, he's okay. He's all right, man. He's like talking to the air because he had a demon with him because doing meth had opened him up to the demonic realm. And now this boy that we're talking to is also 17, is now also demonized and hearing voices saying, go hit them. You know, just feeling this impulse to go hurt people just by doing meth and hanging out with somebody that's full of demons. What do I do with him? I mean, look, think about that. What do I do, Lord? I need you in this. I can't do this in my own strength. He told us as we were reading the Bible, the voice was telling him, do not read the Bible. He said, right now he's telling me, stop reading the Bible. The demon was right there in the prison with us, talking to him. What do you do with that? You need the Holy Spirit. And if you look in the Gospels, Jesus spent a ton of time casting out evil spirits. And they have not gone away. It's not these events that we read about in the paper, all these mass shootings and these shootings in synagogues and all this. People don't just do that in the flesh. I mean, we're capable. Our hearts can be wretched. We know that. But there are unseen forces that are working to stir up all this. How do we face this? With the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit to cast these out. And I told this boy at the prison that I saw 5 demons come out of a boy at Hope Chapel years ago, and it really got his attention that maybe I can be set free too. But you know what? He wasn't ready. He still liked the darkness. Isn't that interesting? He still liked the rush, the adrenaline of doing something really bad and having all that demonic power. We need Jesus to come against that because greater is he in us than he that's in the world. And I've been putting on the full armor even more so the last few days when I wake up. Lord, help me to wear the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and have the shield of faith and wield the sword of truth and wear the sword of the Spirit and wield the belt of truth and wear the shoes fitted with the gospel of peace so I can be ready for the spiritual battle that we're in. We need the Holy Spirit. Number 2, we can't truly minister without the Holy Spirit's power. I love that song that we were just singing. It says, and I've tasted and seen, right? What your presence is, Lord. And I've tasted and seen. You won't know until you taste. Think about it. If you dropped out of the sky like the Coke bottle in the Gods Must Be Crazy on Earth from another planet and someone handed you a Snickers bar, you'd go, well, I don't know. Is it safe? Because you never had a Snickers bar. Oh, come on. It's really good. I don't know, man. It looks pretty weird. But if they eat the Snickers bar, they'll be like, oh, now I've tasted and seen. Right? So We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is for us, and we need to taste and see. Number three, the Holy Spirit draws people to God. Remember I told you about that revival on the Isle of Hebrides? The Hebrides Isles, I looked it up yesterday while I was in line, those long lines at Knott's Berry Farm. And the guy's name was Duncan Campbell, the evangelist. But what happened was there was two ladies. One was blind and one was the other one was disabled as well. They couldn't go to church. So they prayed in their little house on one of these islands off of Scotland and asked for God to move because the young people were not going to church. People were not getting interested in God. It was this flatness, this dryness in the church. And they prayed and prayed and prayed. And then they felt like the Lord said, Duncan Campbell's going to come and minister to your village. Well, Duncan Campbell was an evangelist in the area, but he was somewhere else at the time. And another man was praying and praying and praying. And he also felt like the Lord said, Duncan Campbell's going to come. So Duncan Campbell is at another event on another island, and the Holy Spirit told him, Duncan, you need to go to this other village. He said, well, Lord, I'm busy. Said, no, go. However that conversation works out in his heart, right? So he told the people he's ministering to, you know what, I got to go because the Holy Spirit's telling me to go to this other village. And this, I mean, we're not talking about emails here and texts. This is just the Holy Spirit. And the guy looked at him and said, but you have business to do here. He said, I'm so sorry. I have a previously arranged engagement by God, right? So he goes and shows up and starts preaching for a few days. And then the Holy Spirit just fell upon this place. And people were cut to the heart and convicted by the Holy Spirit. And they got dramatically saved. They received Jesus into their heart and decided to live for him. And there was true revival. And it all started by these two ladies who were disabled that couldn't go to church and this other guy praying, God, draw them with your Holy Spirit. Convict them with their Holy Spirit. It's the work of God, not the work of man. Because if we can talk someone into church, someone else can talk them out. But when you're truly born again, when the Holy Spirit has truly come in and is living in your life, you may stop going to church for a couple of weeks, but you're going to come back because you're one of His. You're not going to stay gone for long. And if people never come back, maybe they never really received Him. And so I really want to implore you to search your hearts. Where are you with Jesus? And number four, the Holy Spirit empowers us for service. I'm just re-teaching the whole first message, aren't I, from 2 weeks ago. But anyway, this week I was at, before I went to Los Padrinos, I was at In-N-Out Burger in Downey. And I love to go there because you just never know what God's going to do. And plus, that's where I eat before I go there. But on this particular day, on Thursday, I was worn out. My class wore me out. I'm sorry. They wore me out. I teach sixth grade, for y'all that don't know. And I'm just sitting there enjoying my hamburger, and the people next to me are kind of irritating me because they're loud and those tables are right next to each other. You ever felt like that? Like, I just want some peace and quiet. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me, remember those days when you're in here witnessing to all those kids? I'm like, yeah, Lord, I'm not really in the mood right now. I'm tired. Plus, I'm going to the prison, remember? So, and then the guy next to me is talking to his girlfriend, and he says, do you know what Jeremiah 29:11 is? I was listening in like, beep, 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 you know. And then she didn't answer, so I said, I do. And I talked to them. I said, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future, for a hope, so you will not be cut off, right? And they're like, wow. It turns out they both used to go to church and they haven't been going lately. Imagine that. And God put me right next to them. It was so cool. I looked at him. I said, Ephesians 2:10 says that you're God's workmanship created to do good works that He prepared in advance for you to do. Go back to church and find your mission. And that's what he was thinking about because he knew that God had plans for his life. But he hadn't been going. And I said, now, isn't that interesting that I'm sitting right next to y'all? What do you think about that? Of all these people in this In-N-Out Burger, God empowers us for service. And as I was talking to them, I felt His Holy Spirit coming upon me. I was no longer irritated or tired because He rose up in me. I was quickened for service. It was so cool. I'm like, wow, I don't even have to go to the prison now. I can just go home. I'm happy. But then I went and talked to those other two boys later, right? And God prepared me for a heavy talk. about demons and meth and gangs, and right? So he wants to empower us for service. And number five, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will bear fruit in your life. You'll see things happening, right, because of it. Then last week, we talked about conditions for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First of all, we need to be repentant. We need to say, I'm sorry for our sins. Secondly, we need to be truly saved. We've talked about that. There's people that come to church, and they're really interested in it. They may be hanging out for a few months, but are not truly born again. They have not truly invited Jesus in. Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever lets me in, I will come into him. I will sup with him. I will have a relationship with him. So it's beyond belief. It's engaging, accepting, having him live in us. That's salvation. So repentance, salvation, then getting water baptized in water. We have our baptismal ready. If anybody's interested, I have a dry wetsuit ready to get into, or my trunks. He wants us to be baptized in water, right? Not to be saved, because he asks us to. And then we talked about how you need a real hunger and thirst, just like that song was saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place with your atmosphere. You know, I've tasted and seen your goodness. Come again. You need this real hunger and thirst for God and a willingness to surrender. Last night, a guy, I was wearing a Church on the Beach shirt at Knott's Berry Farm because it starts conversations. By the way, they're in the back for donations or whatever. But I was wearing it, and a guy in line started talking to me. He had 10 children, and he's talking about how he went to church and he used to be in gangs and drugs, but he reeked of alcohol. And he said, you know what? I have a drinking problem. And we're having this conversation at the accelerator. You know what that one is, right? So his line's going that way, and my line's going this way. Like, whoa, we're trying to minister. And I said, you need to be all in. You need to be all in. God will take care of your drinking problem. But if you have one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus and you're on the fence, Satan loves the fence. Think about that. Someone told me Satan made fences, right? Because if you're hanging on the fence, you're no good for anybody. You got to be all in, and God will take care of that drinking problem. You know, interesting thing happened to me because I'll drink non-alcoholic beers because I like the taste, and then I don't have to worry about getting drunk because I used to drink too much 32 years ago. It's like, you know, didn't know where my car was or my bike was, or, you know, hear all these stories. And my wife accidentally got real beer the other night, and I drank some and went, whoa, what is that? It was like, tastes like poison. It's amazing the difference between a real beer and non-alcoholic beer. And I was so grateful that I noticed the difference. And she took it back to Vaughn's and she exchanged it, right? I said, it's the one that says non-alcoholic on the side, you know. Praise God. That was the first time I had real beer in 32 years. Because I did the one step in 1986. I got on my knees, raised up my hands, and after 14 years of being completely obliterated almost every day, I was completely sober, serving the Lord ever since I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm talking about today. He gave me the power to say no to all that stuff. Amen? Yeah. Right? It was really interesting. It tasted really bad. I used to drink it like water. I mean, you know, give me another one. So, not anymore. So, willingness to surrender, be all in. We talked about how the hindrances are weak faith, not believing. A kid asked me the other day, he wants to be a pastor. Will you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't have this big flash of light. He didn't feel this surge of the Spirit. And he said, well, you know what? I think maybe it's because I've seen people so reckless with it that I don't trust it. And he was honest with me. And so nothing happened. God wants you to be fully surrendered, total faith, and that's what happened to me, without hesitation. You also need holy living. And I'm checking myself every day. What am I looking at? What am I reading? What am I thinking about? Where am I going with my heart? So that I can actually be in this too, right? We need holy living to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about wrong motives. We need to have the right motives. So today, that leads me to the next part. On this back side of this, your notes here, about halfway down. Let's see. your notes are different than mine, aren't they? But where it says how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See that? In that song that we just sang, we sang, "Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are." I love that line. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are. It's like a little kid. "Dad, can I see? Can I have a..." Okay, you know, lift me up. When your kids are little, lift me up. I want to see. I want to know more, right? That childlike wonder about God. How to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, number one, by faith in the promise of God. Really believing it. Look at Acts 2:39 again in your scriptures. Acts 2:39. Acts 2:39 reads, "For the promise is for you..." Let me back up and read 38 again. "Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" He's talking about the baptism here. "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." So you need to believe that. You need to have faith. It says in Luke 11, 11 through 13, Luke 11, 11 through 13. Let's start back at 9. "So I say to you," Jesus is speaking, "so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We need to believe that. We need to have faith in that. In Galatians 3:14, Galatians 3:14, let's start back at 11. "Now know that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith." So it's faith that saves us. "However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them." Verse 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Curses everyone who hangs on a tree.'" So he died for our sins. Verse 14, "In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." We need faith. We need to understand what the role of the Holy Spirit is and what He's doing. And then we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. I've already talked about this, but I cannot overemphasize this. Surrender. Look at Romans 12, 1 through 2. Romans 12, 1 through 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren..." This is Paul saying this. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." We need to surrender and say, "Lord, I'm all yours. Open up my eyes to see your wonder. I want to taste and see that you are good." We need total surrender. So how do you receive the baptism? Look at the next part. It says the manners in which the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be received. One way is you're sitting there and suddenly it happens to you, which is really interesting. Look at Acts 2, 1 through 4. Acts 2, 1 through 4. This is at Pentecost, the initial outpouring. Actually, I'm going to skip over that verse right now. There's another verse I want to show you. The point there is, here's my point. The point there is expectancy. They were waiting in Jerusalem and expecting it to happen. Okay? Expecting it. So you need expectancy. And then secondly, it could happen instantly and unexpectedly while listening to a sermon. Look at Acts 10, verses 44 through 46. Acts 10, 44 through 46. It's really important to read this if you have your Bible, because when you see this scripture, Acts 10, 44 through 46, see, I'll open up, I'll give you a moment to find your Bibles. Got your owner's manuals? We got Bibles in the back if you need one. It says here, while Peter was still speaking these words, so he's talking about the gospel, while Peter was still speaking about Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. So they're just sitting there listening to a message like you are right now. And they're sitting there, and suddenly the Holy Spirit just fell on them. Kind of like what happened in the Hebrides. No one asked for it, it just fell upon them. And then verse 45, all the circumcised believers, so these are already believers. How can you be a believer if the Holy Spirit is active in your life, has convinced you by convicting you of your sin and drawing you to God, and then you turning to the Lord and now being, by faith, being saved, right? So they're already believers. It says, all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. So that's one way they could tell people were speaking in tongues. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. So these people were just sitting listening to a sermon and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So that's one way to receive the baptism, and that would be God's prerogative. God just did it, right? Now, this whole thing of speaking in tongues, every time I bring it up, it's just, you know, David Byrne, Talking Heads, had an album called Speaking in Tongues, and that's not what this is about. you know, it's speaking another language. And I was praying in tongues on the way to the beach this morning because the Bible says when we pray in tongues, it edifies and builds up the believer, even if no one hears it. Now, in the church, the purpose would be so that someone could interpret the tongue and have somebody edified or helped in the church. It's not just a showy thing. I remember Jack Hayford of the Four Square Church was on an airplane. God gave him a tongue, a language, of the person sitting next to him. And when he spoke that tongue, that word to the guy next to him on the airplane, it was speaking into his life, and the guy gave his heart to Jesus. I mean, that's amazing. That's a really pure use of languages or tongues. And remember I told y'all that by faith I do this, and it seems so weird to me, like, when I do it. By faith I do it. The Bible says to do it. And I went to a 7-Eleven in Harbor City, and a guy was speaking in my tongue on the telephone. I'm like, wow, that sounds like my tongue. Remember I told you that story? And then I went back years later, and the same guy was still working there. It's like Twilight Zone. Like, what? You know, he's still there. So I asked him to listen to my tongue. I stepped out in faith, and I spoke in tongues. I said, what am I saying? He said, I don't know those words, but it's a dialect in India. Okay, wow, that encouraged me that maybe I'm really saying a real language, even though it sounds like Babel to me, you know, so very repetitive at times. But it's interesting, if you go to other parts of the world and listen to other languages, they do sound like that, don't they? They sound very repetitive and very unusual, especially when you go to Middle Eastern areas, you know, with Arab nations, it just sounds, or Africa, very different. So, and one time I was in Hawaii, I think I told you all the story, but I'm going to say it again because it encourages me. But I was getting my ear worked on at a doctor, and I walked outside. There's a bunch of kids sitting around, and the Holy Spirit said to me, go over to those kids. So I went over the kids across the alley, and they're all sitting on the floor. And I went down to them, and I said, hey, guys, you know, they're all little guys. I said, do y'all know who my hero is? And they all start saying different things, you know, like Muhammad Ali and all these different names. And I said, no. I said, it's Jesus. And one of them said, I told you. And I looked up and it was like a church, the door of a church that was closed. And then so I said, they were all like between 8 and 15 years old. It was like 10 of them. And I said, would y'all like to know for sure that you're going to go to heaven tonight? And a bunch of them raised their hands. And so I led them in prayer, said, ask Jesus to come into your heart and live in you. Believe that he died for you, died for your sins, and that he rose from the dead, and that you'll go to heaven. So they all said this prayer, and then one of them started speaking in tongues. He was like 8 years old. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, I don't know. What am I doing? I mean, God gave him the gift of tongues. He was only 8 years old. That was interesting. And it was also interesting because it was the poorest part of Honolulu. It's called Kalihi. And oftentimes God works the most where the people are the poorest because they know they need him. You know, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's like getting a camel through the eye of a needle because they don't realize their need for him. So that really got my attention. Wow, you can actually receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit without asking and tongues. I could have spent my whole life with those kids and never left that block and been busy till I died probably with ministry. Think about it. But I went back to our base. I was a missionary in Honolulu behind the university and was still blown away by that happening. So you can receive it unexpectedly or expectantly. And most often we see this in Scripture through prayer and the laying on of hands. Look at Acts 8, 14 through 17. This is the most common way. Acts 8, 14 through 17. And if you have your Bibles, it's really good to read this and see it, because I'm not making this stuff up, right? This is not from third opinions or second suppositions, okay? So 8, 14 through 17. And I've been thinking about this for 30 years. It's not like I just found this last week. So verse 14, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Who might receive the Holy Spirit? Believers, right? For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. See that word there? Fallen upon. Fallen upon the believers. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, just like I said, repented, got saved, got water baptized, and there they are. Now they're ready for the next step. So they began laying their hands on them, verse 17, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. And then it says, when Simon saw the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the hands, he offered them money. We talked about that last week. He had the wrong motives. But there was evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'll talk about that more later. But, you know, at this point, they're speaking in tongues. And there's something happening here that shows that it's real. And then look at chapter 9, verse 17. Flip over to chapter 9, verse 17. Okay. This is when Ananias was sent to Paul to give him his mission. It says, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At this point, Paul's a believer, radically saved, because of what happened on the road to Damascus. He's blown away. And it says in verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. He got up and then was baptized, ate some food, and was strengthened. So he got baptized in water afterwards. So it doesn't always have to be that sequence, though we see Paul also receiving it through the laying on of hands. And then look at Acts 19:6. Acts 19:6 reads, when Paul, now Paul is full of the Holy Spirit, right? So he's empowered for ministry. Now he's going to go out and play it forward. He's going to do it for other people. So in verse 6, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking. So let me back up. Who are these people? Let's start in verse 1 and 19. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples. So what are disciples? Believers in Jesus, right? He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit," right? And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who is coming after him, that is in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. So here the Holy Spirit again is coming upon them. Remember, the Holy Spirit is in us, is in us doing the work of salvation, drawing us to Him, giving us the faith to believe, opening our minds to read the Scriptures. Excuse me just a second. And so the Holy Spirit's already in us. Now the Holy Spirit is coming upon them. So what is this? It is subsequent to and distinct from, from God's regenerative work. It is designated in the New Testament as the Spirit falling upon, coming upon, or being poured out upon in a sudden supernatural manner. Look at Luke 24:49. Luke 24:49. Jesus says, starting in verse 45, "He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. He said to them, 'Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you.'" See that? "Upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." It's this work upon us. And that's what happened to me. I was at the Vineyard Church in Santa Monica in 1986. And I remember they were preaching this message, and they were talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'd already surrendered to the Lord, and God had already filled me with His Spirit. I'd already stopped everything, just as I told you. And this is about a month later. And I'm hearing a message like this going, what is this all about? All I knew is that I wanted all of Jesus. It was remarkable. I was so blown away, so buzzing with the Holy Spirit on His honeymoon with God, that no one could even tempt me hardly with anything artificial, right? Ecstasy or whatever. Nothing could touch it, right? Artificial. As I tried so. And I was so blown away. I just wanted more. And I remember the first time I went down to this, it was in an old theater in the 3rd Street Promenade. I went down to the front. And so the elders came and laid hands on me and said, "Would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Sure." "Okay, go." And it's like, "All right, all right." They laid hands. I think they were praying in tongues. I can't remember exactly. But nothing happened. Well, that's interesting. So I went back to my seat and went home and thought about it during the week, you know, and it's like, "Wow, God, how come that didn't happen to me?" You know? So the next week they were doing it again. And I went down to the front of the church and I said, "Okay, guys, I want to try again." And this time I raised up my hands and I was truly ready. And, you know, it's like, "God, I'll go wherever you want. I'll do whatever you want. I'll give everything away. I'll live wherever you want. I'll do anything you want. I have nothing holding me back." And they laid hands on me and I felt like someone hooked me to a wall socket. Whoosh! This Holy Spirit, whoa, that's incredible. And ever since, I've been like this. I don't know what it looks like. But when I talk to people, the Holy Spirit comes upon me. When I started hanging out with gang members in the inner city, you know, I remember talking to these guys at USC, because I worked at USC, and these gang members would come on campus, and I saw these Crips in the shade sitting on the bench, and I went up to these Crips, and I said, hey, y'all see any gang members around here? Oh, have you seen any gang members around here? No, man. They had like white shirts, blue pants, big old belt buckles with an F on it for Folsom Street, you know, totally sagging. I said, well, if you see them, can you tell them about Jesus? Because Jesus loves them, and they need to get joined, you know, need to be joined in his gang, Jesus Christ Prayer Gangsters. And then I pulled out my book, my Jesus Person Pocket Promise book that I was carrying around from David Wilkerson, who was crossing the switchblade guy, right? I got out my Jesus Person Pocket Promise book. I said, what do y'all need? And I just started reading these promises, and they looked at me with they're like, man, you're high. I said, yeah, I'm high on the Holy Ghost. You want a dose? Right? It was something different that happened to me. And even these gangbangers could tell what happened. Man, you're tripping. And it's because of Jesus. So that was my experience. So it comes expectantly. It comes unexpectedly. It comes when you really want it, through the laying on of hands. And it also comes just in your own time, through prayer and faith. And I want to, you know what? I don't have enough time to tell that whole story. The next part about Charles Finney. That's like 15 minutes or maybe 20. It's remarkable. So I'm going to stop right there. I've been trying to keep my messages to around 40 minutes. I can tell when I tape them for the website how long I went. It's like, oh, so sorry. But I would like to know if anybody would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, but what we're going to do is I'm going to invite the worship team to come up in a moment. But before we do that, we have to go through the steps, right? So first of all, I need to know if everybody is repentant and they're saved, right? So everybody close your eyes. And if you are not truly repentant right now, with everybody's eyes closed, I want you to raise your hand just between you and God. We're not looking around to judge people. We've all been there. I see that hand. So in your heart right now, just admit, I'm wrong, and I need to change my mind about some things. Because God, you know best. Okay, we're good there. I see that hand that was up. Okay, I see that hand. Okay, good. That's a great place to be. Whatever you say, Lord, is right, and I'm willing to do what you say because you're right. That's repentance. Okay, secondly, the Bible says to be saved. And how are we saved? When we turn to the Lord, it says a veil is removed, and all of a sudden we understand that He's there for us. He wants us to be a child of God. He wants to restore us into relationship with Him that was severed in the garden by sin. So it's time to acknowledge our sin, ask God to forgive us, so that we can become children of God. This is for all who call upon Him. So if that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you to receive Jesus and know that you're saved. Know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Then know that you're a child of God. I see those hands. Awesome. Anybody else? I see that hand. Awesome. Today's a day for salvation. Why wait, right? Okay, repeat these words after me, everybody. And then those who are praying this for your prayer, join in. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. For taking that curse upon you and going to the cross and going through that and dying for me, all my sins. Please forgive me. I want to follow you. I believe you rose from the dead, so I believe what you said. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me live for you all my days, and go to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's give the Lord a big clap. Woo! Yes, Jesus. So, right now the angels are rejoicing. over one sinner that repents. So if two or three, it's like double, triple party, right? Now, all seriousness, we're going to worship. And at the end, if you would like to come up and I'll pray for you to receive the baptism. I would like to pray for you. And So we'll believe by faith. Come expectantly. And believe that whatever God has for us is good. Taste and see. Taste and see. So I'll be over here to the side. And after worship, then we'll... Actually, they're going to play a song and then keep playing. And they'll just keep playing. And you just come over here. And while we're worshiping, I'll pray for you. Okay.